How's everyone? Good. Sound team, I'm going to ask you to do something weird for me, please. Could you turn the lights back down for me for just the whole thing, actually? I'm going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. All right. That's a little weird, right? Something's changing. Pastor Harris, will you hand this out? Do me a favor when you get these notes. I just want you to flip it over to this side. It says notes. Tonight, if you don't normally take notes, you want to take notes tonight, amen? There's something for you. How many of you have enjoyed this series? This is the last night of it. I'm kind of sad about it. It really has been life-changing, amen? You have quite a bit in your hand here, and just if you want to just flip it over, tonight's going to be a night where you'll want to take some notes, and this is why. As I was reading this stuff, really it was a wrap-up of where we've been. How many know we've come a long way in this series? There's been all kinds of things that we've discovered about our heart, about our emotional health. Weren't the teachers amazing, you guys? They did such a good job this entire series. I was very proud of each and every one of them. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the rule of life. So the top of your notes would like you to write the rule of life. I know it's dark in here, and this is why I had them turn the lights down. As I was preparing for tonight, how many know that the Holy Spirit loves to hijack? He's like the best at it, right? You fully have in your mind, this is where I'm going, and the Holy Spirit says, no, that's not where I want to go. And so it really was a recap of what we've talked about. And how many know this series has been getting to the heart of the matter a lot of times? And the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to deal with the heart of the matter. And to be quite honest, it's a little uncomfortable. I'm just going to be honest, because I have a heart issue in this area. We all probably do at some point. How many know our families are not as pretty as they look sometimes? There is a heart. There's an issue of a heart dealing with our families, dealing with the way we were raised, dealing with the way we raised our children, are raising our children, possibly adult children, relationships with adult children, what happens in our homes. And the Lord just very strongly said to me, I want you to deal with this tonight. I want you to deal with the heart of the issue. So some of you are in different stages of maybe you have children, maybe you don't have children. Maybe you're raising children, maybe you've already raised children. But I believe tonight as we talk through some of this stuff, the Lord just wanted me to turn the lights down, because I heard the Holy Spirit say, come away with me tonight to a secret meeting. The Holy Spirit has given some specific words tonight that I believe is for every one of you. And I'm so excited and privileged to be able to talk about communication with your families. Because if that's not right in your home, it's not going to be right here. We cannot serve God correctly if we first aren't really dealing with our heart issues, and then dealing with our family issues, and then dealing with the church issues and then the world, right? Amen? Y'all get where I'm going here? So I want to say this tonight, the rule of life. If you're taking notes, you can write that. I don't want you to be intimidated by the word rule. How many of you grew up in a house that was full of rules? Maybe some of you did. Maybe some of you grew up in a house that had no rules. Anybody have that? You could just do whatever you wanted and mom, dad didn't care. There are those kids that experience that, believe it or not. Well, I looked up the word rule, and it comes from the Greek trellis. Does anybody know what a trellis is? Very interesting, okay? So a trellis is a tool that enables a grapevine to get off the ground and to grow upward, becoming more fruitful and productive, right? That's what a trellis does. How many know that when you intentionally start to do things in your life that deals with your heart, that you start to put, let's call them rules of life, right? You say, this is the way I'm going to walk out this life, by the word of God. This is the measuring tape of my life, is the word of God. That when we truly start to apply rules to our life, guess what begins to happen? Growth. We go up the grapevine, right? We start to produce fruit. So it's important to develop godly rules in your life. Amen? And in your families. It's never too late. No matter how old your children are, if you have friends who have children, or you will have children someday, it's never too late, right? To develop those rules. I want to talk about Daniel for a moment, because I believe that we, like Daniel, have some similarities that we deal with in our culture. Amen? Everybody remember Daniel, right? So let's go back all the way to Daniel in the early church history, and let's consider a very important hidden treasure. Nebuchadnezzar, everybody here have heard of him, right? And his Babylonian armies, with their gods, conquered Jerusalem and carried off the most of the city's inhabitants, and they became slaves, right? They were cut off by their family, their friends, their language, their culture, and they even got cut off by their food. They could not eat like they normally ate. Wouldn't that be sad? How many of you enjoy a good steak? Right, no longer whatever that is, right? So we all have things that we eat. These poor slaves, everything they had known, they were cut off from, right? And so Daniel was brought into the Babylonian court of the king, and he was sent to the best university in the land. He studied foreign and pagan ways of viewing the world. He was learning about things that were banned in Israel. Do you know how hard this must have been for this young man? Everything he had ever known, he was stripped from and then placed in a culture where he had to learn about it and he had to practice it, right? But we know, even, you know, I was reading this, and even they changed his name. I mean, really, these Bible stories sometimes, and I've said this, we skim by them and we're like, oh man, Daniel had it bad. Can you imagine to be stripped from everything? Your family, your values, your culture, your food, your name. You're not even known as who you are. They took that from Daniel, right? So Daniel had it kind of bad. So Babylon had one simple goal, and can I just tell you, the world has one simple goal for you as well, to eliminate Daniel's distinctiveness as a God follower and absorb him into the values of their culture. That was the goal of Daniel's life for him at that moment. That is the goal of the enemy in our life, to strip us of everything that may look godly and to get us absorbed into the culture that we live in. That's the truth of what is happening. So how did Daniel resist? If you're taking notes, these three things, and then we're going to dive directly into this. Number one, Daniel had a plan. He had a rule of life. How many know the story? What did Daniel continue to do? Pray, right? He had a rule of life that he abided by. He would not get rid of that rule of life. Another thing that Daniel did, number two, is that he did not leave the development of his interior life to chance. Daniel did not just become strong by chance. Didn't it show in the way that he would consistently pray to God? His interior he was working on. And the third is this, he renounced certain activities. Daniel said, I'm not going to partake in that. We as Christians are dealing with this today, whether it's in our families, as a Christian with where you work. We too live in a Babylon at times. We see that Daniel blossomed into an extraordinary man, even in a hostile environment. Why do I tell the story of Daniel? Because no matter what you have faced in your families growing up, or what you currently face, do you know that you can blossom in the midst of turmoil? It's possible. And tonight we're going to attack the heart of this issue. And even as the Lord was revealing some of this stuff, I have to be honest, I'm like, I'm doing some things wrong. Ever been there? And it's like, yes, this is never going to be over till I go to heaven. I'm constantly being worked on, and it doesn't always feel good, but I'm just going to be transparent, right? That's what we should be as Christians. And so tonight, let's just be transparent with the Father. How many know that we need to be intentionally paying attention for God to work in our lives? Intentionality is important as a Christian. We can't just coast by and say, I'm good, right? That's what the Pharisees always said. I'm good. I posted this on Facebook. I'm good. But Jesus went to them and said, yeah, maybe you haven't murdered someone externally, but you have murder in your heart. You're not good. You're not good. There's a heart issue. And there's a heart issue in all of us at times in our life, if not always. We often find ourselves distracted. Anybody ever been distracted this week? How about unfocused? You haven't been focused on what God's asked you to do. How about spiritually adrift? It's like that piano, you don't tune, and then all of a sudden, right, you find yourself out of tune because you haven't been getting tuned. It's easy to become spiritually adrift. I thought of in the first century, when a person carried a cross, right, in the first century, this meant that they were about ready to be executed. I'm going to say that again for a second, and then I'm going to make a point. When a person carried a cross in the first century, this meant that they were about ready to be executed. As Christians, we talk a lot about carrying our cross. Anybody ever been there? You've heard the messages about carrying your cross. You talk about how important it is, but how many know that we're not so good at dying daily? The cross, the message of the cross was execution in the first century. And yet we as Christians aren't so good at dying to things, right? How about pride? Are we good at dying to our pride, right? The true mark of a Christian is death. That's really what it is. And so we get frustrated when we don't get our way. We get frustrated when people don't, you know, agree with us. We get frustrated when we're not heard. Yet Jesus is like, wait a second. What is the mark of the cross? It's death. That's what it looks like. That's something to get excited about. The message of the cross was execution. And so many times we feel like things are owed to us, and God says, listen, what does your faith walk look like when you carry that cross daily? Does it look like death? Are you dying to the things you feel that are owed to you or that you need? God calls us to a higher calling. So we've measured a lot of things in this series. I want to see if we've grown. Is that okay with everybody? Because it's easy to say I have, and we haven't ever been there. I've evaluated. I've done good. So here's some indicators. In the last, how many weeks was it again? Seven? Okay. So over the past couple months, I want you to think, have you been defensive or approachable? Has there been any work in there? Think about that. Have you been low self-awareness or high self-awareness? Anybody moved? I know I've definitely moved in that area. I've been thinking, processing about things that I'm saying and doing. Anybody else? Yeah, that's helped. How about isolation or non-reactivity, right? Have you been isolating yourself, or have you just been non-reactive? Like, I understand that this is producing good things in my life, right? How many of you have moved from blame to taking responsibility better? Anybody? Oh, see, some of you are honest. How many of you have moved from fear to courage? Maybe self-absorption to offering self as a gift. That's where that one moves, right? Self-absorbed to offering self as a gift. Addiction to freedom. Dishonesty to honesty. You see, these are the indicators of when someone truly moves inside themselves, right? When God truly moves inside a person. So we need to start with the heart. I handed something out to you. I'm going to have you do something for me. If you flip it open, there's four questions. Do you see that at the top? If you have a pen, I'd like you to do this. And very, very quickly, I don't want you to really think about it. I just want you to list it. I'm going to ask some questions, and we're going to talk real quick, and you're going to go, what do these questions mean? But the Lord wants to say some things to us tonight. Number one, I want you to write them really quick. 5 things you want to be in your lifetime. Don't think about it. Just write it. Just comes to your mind. 5 things you want to be in your lifetime. Second one, 5 things you want to do in your lifetime. If you can't list 5, that's okay. You can list 3 or 2. Maybe some of you have never actually asked yourself these questions. That's okay. Number 3, 5 things I want to have in this lifetime. Do we get a handout for her, honey? Just walked in. And then please, thank you. And then number 4, 5 things I want to help in this lifetime. Number one, 5 things you want to be in your lifetime. Number 2, 5 things you want to do in your lifetime. Number 3, 5 things I want to have. Number 4, 5 things I want to help. I'm going to give you one more minute and then we're going to talk. Okay, I want you just to look at number one. I tricked you. You're all like, what? Okay, I tricked you, and this is how. If you have children, these are good questions to ask just because you get to know a person. If you're a spouse, ask these questions to each other. It's really good to get to know each other. If you're a friend, ask these questions, right? It's kind of fun to get to know these things. Now, I'm not going to put you on the spot because I don't want to make anybody feel bad. So, 5 things you want to be in your lifetime. Did anybody mention character traits? Like, good. Can I just tell you right now? If you didn't, it's okay. That's absolutely okay. But the purpose of this exercise, when you ask questions to yourself or to other people or to your children, if somebody wrote down, right, the question is, 5 things I want to be in my lifetime. I want to be kind. A lot of people result to this, let me tell you, professional or material things, right? Now, this is the kicker. If you wrote professional things or things that you wanted to be, right? I wanted to be a marine biologist when I was a teenager. I thought I was going to do that. That is not at all where I went, obviously. And so the reason this is a good indicator is how many know that we put... if you put professional down and not character, that was a way maybe you measured worth as a child. Did you know that? That whatever was instilled into you as a child was based on what you were going to be, not who you were. Now that shook me because I put one character down and the rest was like things I wanted to be. And that revealed something in my heart, because it wasn't that I don't have a heart to be those things. It's that what was valued, possibly, that I interpreted as value in my family was what I was going to be, not who I was. Does that make sense to anybody? Anybody else put things like that down? Or am I alone? You all put character stuff down? Oh no, am I the only one that needs help? Okay. Hi, my name is Sarah. And so, hi Sarah. Okay, and so these are really great questions to ask your kids. Why? Because it's a good indicator, where their heart is and how you can maybe instill things into them, right? Hey, listen, this isn't about being, this is about, you know, this is not about doing, this is about being who God has called you to be. You want to be nice and kind and loving and these things. Not that you can't want to do these professional things, but kind of where the scale is. Did that move anybody when I read that? You're kind of like, oh no, like I've measured, you know, value a little weird. Okay, let's go to the second one. The second one is 5 things you want to do. This is activity based. How many of you have a bucket list? Like an actual bucket list made? Awesome. I suggest it. Why? Because it's fun. Because life is supposed to be exciting, right? Talk to your friends, talk to your spouse about these bucket list activity items. It's fun. We've talked about that before. Number 3, 5 things I want to have. How many of you put things like a healthy marriage? Good. A dynamic relationship with Jesus. Maybe you put material stuff. This is another indicator of where value was placed, maybe early on in your heart. So why do I ask questions like this? This is for you and God alone to say, hey, listen, maybe my value indicators are off. I know in some of these areas, mine were. I measure value differently. I've got to deal with that. Five things I want to help. This is awesome, because if you're someone who said like sex trafficking or homeless or the church or these things, when you do this with your family, look for similarities and go and serve in those areas. Isn't that a neat question to ask? Because if you want to serve somewhere where your son or daughter or your wife or your friend wants to serve, get involved with each other. Isn't that cool? Just something that you can do on your own. And so ask yourself this. Now you know the tricks. You can't ask yourself this, but you can ask your kids this. You can ask your grandkids this. You can ask your friends this and kind of get to know. If you do accountability, this is a great accountability partner question to ask too, because it helps you indicate where their heart is. These questions give great insights to us as individuals and us as a family. And so I encourage you to this. All right, let's move on. In the middle of your page, you have, there's five core needs in everyone. And I want to speak to this tonight. We're talking about communication. Maybe these five core needs were not met when you were a child, but you have a chance to help meet these five core needs in your family and the people around you, your friends, whatever that might be. And so here are the five core needs. Number one, security. If you're taking notes, I'd like you to write this. Security means this: who can I trust? That's the number one need, believe it or not. Security, who can I trust? Number two is this, identity. Who am I? Right? Number three, belonging. Who wants me? And number four, purpose. Why am I alive? So I'm going to read these quick again. One, security. Who can I trust? Two, identity. Who am I? Three, belonging. Who wants me? Four, purpose. Why am I alive? Do you know that each and every one of you in this room asks these core questions on a daily basis, whether you realize it or not? And your children and the people around you are asking those five core questions all the time. So let's, by a raise of hand, who in here feels that security is their top need? Like you feel like, that's what I look for, trust. I'm looking for trust, okay? How many of you deal with identity? You're like, identity, who am I? I'm searching for that. Thank you for being honest. Belonging, who wants me, right? Purpose. Why am I alive? What's the purpose of my life? What am I doing, right? Okay, so these are your needs. So recognizing that, especially in your families, figuring out these needs and how to talk to each other to meet those needs, right? So I want to talk real quick for the why am I alive. Do you know that suicide is at an all-time high with teenagers right now? It's an epidemic. And I believe one of the reasons is, as families, we aren't speaking into these five needs, core needs of teenagers. I'll tell you what, it's real easy to set your child in front of a screen and check out and hope that the screen raises them the right way. Right? That's just easier. Back when my grandpa was a little kid, they all worked together on the farm. So they were learning together, teaching together, all these things. And so there's interaction. Nowadays, it's really easy to check out and not be a part of your children's life. It's just what it is. So it's important that we start to talk to our kids about why were you created for such a time as this, and your purpose is to glorify God. Everyone in here, if you don't hear anything else, your purpose is one thing and one thing only, to glorify God. That's your purpose. If what you're doing does not glorify God, you are not fulfilling your purpose. When you wake up in the morning, tell your children or your friends, your purpose is to glorify God. When you make a bad decision or your children make a bad decision, a good question to ask is, did it glorify God? If not, that was a bad choice, right? And so we need to constantly think about, does this glorify God? How many of you did stuff today that might not have glorified God? With your attitude, right? Stuff like that, right? We're all there at times, right? Isaiah 43:7. Could somebody read that for me, please? Is there an extra mic right here, I think? Yeah. Found it. Isaiah 43:7. This is the purpose, to glorify God. she got it. Isaiah 43:7. I think he's turning it on.
Yo.
Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them.
For his what? Glory. The purpose of your life is to glorify the Father. That eliminates a lot of stuff, doesn't it? I can think of a lot of stuff I do that probably doesn't, I mean, just like daily things that don't always bring glory to God, right? We got to think about what we're doing and weighing that. Now, some of you think, okay, she did not list, I missed one. Did any of you catch that? 5 core, right? Here's the 5th one, and it's a big one. Are you ready? Competence. What do I do well? This is a big one. This is a need. Have you ever, maybe some of you grew up in a home where all you heard was the negative. You're constantly just getting nagged, right? Especially women are known as nagging, right? Let's just be honest. A lot of times they're always on me, right? So maybe you grew up in a home where it's just constant, where you just felt like never can be good enough. I'm always getting in trouble. Mom, she's always on me. He's always on me. And so it's a lot of negative. Well, one of the 5 core needs of a person is, what do I do well? If you're having some issues with your relationships, try to tell them what they do well. Amen? Can we start there? Right? That's just a core need. And so if you're constantly just telling someone they don't do well, do you think they're going to be very close to you? They want to be close to you? Probably not. That's probably true. So when we struggle with our purpose and our core needs and our identity, you know, our children, the people around you are watching you. So when you start to struggle with these core needs, what do? Really think about it. Do you go and get in your Bible? Do you start praying? Or do you yell, scream, frustrate, ground? You know what I mean? Any of those things. Shut off. Anybody get hurt and you just build up walls, right? But we are, you know, walking these lives and people are watching us. How do we deal with those core needs when we struggle? So I want to give you something that I find very, very helpful. At the bottom of your page, it says 4 distinct roles parents have. And I just want to touch on this because it was so powerful. The Holy Spirit, I really feel, wants to talk about this. I myself don't watch a whole lot of sports. However, my husband loves sports, and I know like a lot of you do, and so I really tried hard to use a sports analogy. Yay me. So, because I really understand that it actually fits this the best, so we're just going to try this. So how many know that if you are not healthy, it's really hard to pass anything good on to your children? You have to work on the interior. We as Christians have to be moldable and flexible for the Holy Spirit to move. I told you I was going to be transparent. I'm going to tell you some mess ups I've done with my kids tonight. Hopefully you don't judge me, but it is what it is. So, all right. 4 distinct roles parents have in their kids' life is a teacher. If you're taking notes, I would like you to write this. Teachers, what they do is this. They explain and demonstrate. Many of us are really good at doing this. Make your bed. Why haven't you made your bed? You're grounded. You didn't make your bed. Many of us are not good at this. This is how you make your bed. This is my expectation. Do you need help? I'm going to show you, and then I'm going to let you do it. Right? We just demand, right? Teachers, they demonstrate. Telling a kid how to clean his room. Think about a little kid or a teenager and their room is a mess. Anybody have kids whose rooms are just trashed? Right? Okay. And so you go in and you're like, clean this room. Do you know what they're thinking? Where do I even start? This is a hot mess. I don't even know how I got into this situation. And we're like, clean it up. But yet, we don't help them process this, right? And so, I'm talking to myself too, right? Many times, we haven't taught our children to be successful. It's true. It's just where we're at. So, teaching moments are important. Number 2 is this, coach. Do you know that a coach breaks complex tasks into minute details? That's what a coach does. And so when you have those moments where your teenager or your kid's looking at you like, they're overwhelmed, so they're not doing it. I thought, I put this down, a basketball coach would never let a kid run and dribble until they can dribble standing still, because that would be a hot mess, right? You would not tell a kid run and dribble back and forth if they've never dribbled just standing still. But how many times as parents do we expect our kid to do that? Go run and dribble back and forth, you're not going fast enough. They're like, I can't even dribble standing still. Can we break this down, right? Can you help me learn what it is to do this? And so, coaches divide separate skills in isolation, and then they help them put it together. This is how we do this. This is how we do this. Let me help you do this. And then we put it together. The thing that the Lord showed me was an essay. How many of you wrote essays in college or school? Okay, so you have word choices, you have spelling, you have paragraphs, you have content, you have introductions and conclusions. To say to your child, write an essay, is overwhelming, but it's important for us to teach them how to do the different parts, right? It's important. Now, why am I going over this? I know not all of you have children, but the Lord specifically said touch on just this part tonight and then move on with everything else. Children have a heart to be successful. Did you know that? They have a heart to be successful. But sometimes we have not played the role, we have not played these roles to help them be successful. Amen? So our communication as parents isn't always the best. Third is this, be a cheerleader. Okay, you men are like, I'm not a cheerleader, right? But you can be a cheerleader for your kid, right? How many know it's really important to sometimes change the cheer? I thought of this. When your team is down by 31 points, the last thing the cheerleaders are going to be saying is V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, right? You're not going to be shouting for victory. You're going to be changing the cheer in that moment when your team is down. If your kid is struggling, the last thing you want to say is, get to that A. Just, you know, like, that's overwhelming, right? We're not shouting victory right now. We've got to deal with the heart of the child. What is going on inside of them? Is anybody following me here, right? You can still be smiling and not shouting at them victory. Amen? Right? You gotta help the child learn and grow. It's just not about your children succeeding. It's about who your child is. Amen? No great team will ever win with just a cheerleader. If all you're doing is shouting at the kids, cheering them on, but you never help teach and coach them, they're not gonna know what to do. Anybody relate to that sometimes? You're constantly just encouraging or whatever it is, but you're not teaching and coaching. You got to take time to do that. Number four is this, referee. You have to have them. And this is why. Be the parent and blow the whistle. Call sin, sin. Tell your kids when they are out of boundaries. Too many parents want to be friends with their kids. I just want to tell you something. Work now so that you'll be a friend with your kid when they're an adult. How many of you have adult kids that come to you, right? That means you did something right? Because they trust you. They know that they can come to you. But referees need to blow that whistle. When you teach, coach, and you cheer your children, you won't have to referee them so much, right? You're out of bounds. You're doing it wrong, right? So if you find yourself nagging or yelling at your children, has anybody in their lifetime ever done it? Oh, really? Raise your hand. I have. I did it today. If you find yourself ever yelling or nagging, step back and decide what role should you be playing instead. Is this the moment to referee your child? Or is it a teaching moment? Is it a coaching moment? Is it a cheering moment? Because if all you do is referee, all you do is nag and yell, they're not going to come to you when they need you. Do you know that research shows this? And I actually looked it up. It's not always the A students who change the world. You can look this up on Google. Guess who it is? C students that are resilient. That is attached to that. see students who are resilient. 9 chances out of 10, those were DNF students that worked really hard to get the C, right? Now, I'm not saying that you don't stretch your children. If they were just born with the smarts to be able to be an A student, let them be that. But if you're always saying, you gotta be an A student, gotta be an A student, maybe they can't be an A student. Maybe they really struggle with that. Literally, it is shown that world changers are C students, and it's because of the resiliency. Interesting, right? Heart check, right? So there's a critical nature that's learned when you learn how to be resilient. How many of you had kind of a hard upbringing and you had to learn resiliency, right? Do you know that it is a choice to bounce back from hardship? That's a choice. And many people don't always bounce back. And not only is it a choice, it's learned. When you are allowed to struggle, you get to make that choice to bounce back. Anybody ever had to do that? I'm struggling right now. And it's in those moments that you struggle that you really do learn your strengths. It's true. You learn your strengths. I think it's important to allow your kids to overcome in the safety of their own home. If your home is chaotic and it's a hostile environment and your kids don't feel like they can fail, that's a hard situation, because the kids need to learn resiliency in your home, how to bounce back, how to fail and get back up. Amen? So what does that mean? I'm going to say to you moms and dads who like to protect your children from hardship. I'm going to talk to the moms, because I can't talk from a dad's perspective. I think because moms carried the children, grew them, you know, it's pretty awesome. Superpower, right? We grow kids. It's really awesome. We kind of feel like responsible for them in a big way. You know, there's just like this, like we want to protect them, that we don't want to let them go through hard things. But how many know that we can end up hurting our children more than helping them? This is the vision the Lord showed me was, and I remember hearing, how many have heard the picture of the chick and the egg? Anybody ever heard that story where they have to, you know, peck their way out? And so here's the danger when you try to help your child and not allow them to work through some things. Not to say that you need to have your kids working all the time and just become so resilient. There's times you have to step in. But do you know that when a chick pecks at that egg, that shell, there are chicks that actually feel the pain and they stop because they're like, ouch, that hurts. So they immediately stop pecking, and guess what happens? They die, because they don't do it to get free. And so many times, a lot of us, when we start to push and we start to realize that hurts, guess what we do? Stop. And we spiritually start to die, because we're not allowing God to actually allow us to break through that hard outer shell. Now, there's something else that can happen. There's those chicks that start, they're in the incubator, they start to peck, and the mommy sees the cracked egg, and she thinks, what? Baby! I'm going to help that baby be born. Do you know that the moms who help the chicks end up dying? Because it's when the chick pecks at the egg that it builds their lung capacity in order to survive. So when the mom sweeps in and tries to help them get out of the egg, the chick can't live. That's what research says. Isn't that amazing? I didn't even know it develops things in their lungs. And so many times the Lord sometimes tells us, get your hand off of that. Let them feel consequence. Consequence is not a bad word, y'all. Everybody say it. Consequence, right? Discipline is somewhat of an issue in our society. Have you recognized that? I deal with it. It's hard. It's hard to be strong with your children. Learn the word consequence. Let's get away from rewards and punishment. This is why. This is why I believe in this. Consequence is something you earn. Reward and punishment is something you get. There's a huge difference. Now, why is it important to teach our children consequences? This is why. Consequences will always be in place for the rest of your life. Always. Your choices will have consequences. But the only way you get rewards or punishments is if somebody's around to watch you do it. God is always watching. I saw a sign that says, wash your hands, germs and Jesus are everywhere. This is true. But God is always watching, and there are consequences to our sin. Teaching our children that there are consequences to their sin is vitally important. Amen? Anybody ever been there? Okay. Kids matter to us more than their behavior. Do you know that we have bad days too? Kids are allowed to have bad days. Family members are allowed to have bad days. We have bad days, right? And so this morning, I had a bad day, a bad morning. My son lost his glove yesterday, got him new gloves to wear today, lost those. Who knows where it goes? I don't even know. Somewhere, somewhere where all the gloves go. I was frustrated, right? I have to go buy new gloves. We're taking that out of your commission. And he lost his hat. I'm like, how does this even happen? So I'm just so frustrated, right? He's crying. I'm yelling at him. I'm frustrated. You're going to school. We're taking that out of your savings money. You know, this stuff doesn't just, money doesn't just grow on trees. I used it all, right? I'm frustrated. I say goodbye to him to go to school, and immediately the Lord convicts my heart. I thought, oh man, what have I done? I heard the Lord say this very clearly to me, and I wrote it down. I did not give him grace, and I did not give him space to grow. And the Lord said, you call him immediately and you apologize. And so I did. I called my husband on there. He took him to school, and they have like a speakerphone, whatever. And I told Hudson, I said, please forgive me. I was out of line today when I did not show grace in that situation. I never want you to feel like perfection is what I want in this household. I do feel that you have responsibility in this situation, and there will be a consequence to you losing your gloves once more, but there will always be space for you to fail in this house, and we will learn from this. Please forgive me. Now listen, we sometimes, as Christians, don't allow grace and space for people. And I heard the Lord say that, and I thought, that's so good. What are my expectations for my family? What are my expectations for the people I love, for my children, for my husband? Is there grace and is there space for people to mess up? Perfection is not the measurement, y'all. That's not what the measurement is. Grace and space. So maybe that was for everybody. The core of everyone to be known, the core of everyone is to be known and to be known by God. I don't want my child, I don't want my friends, I don't want you to ever be scared to be around me because there's not space for you to mess up or grace to love you when you do. Amen? We don't, none of us want that, right? And so don't do it to your children. Do you know that it's true that some people self-sabotage? Because if you just remain average, you can attain that goal. Right? I am excellent at being average, and you're really good at it because you know that, hey, that's a goal that's reachable. If I just do that, I am golden. But how many know that God wants you to be so much more than that? So if you see your kid just being average, or the people around you just being average, just being good, more than likely, they have found an attainable goal. And it's our job to help them be better, right? To be more. Children and people are not problems. They have problems. They are not problems. I'm going to say that again. Children and people are not the problem. They have problems. When you treat your child as a problem, they feel it. When we were youth pastors, I can't tell you how many teenagers told me, I'm the problem. I'm the problem at home. Why do you think they said that? Yeah, someone told them they're the problem. No, they have problems. They're definitely not the problem, okay? Humility is the most important characteristic you can really teach your child or your loved ones. Why? Because everything else is motivated out of that. If you learn to be humble and you learn to show humility, everything else can be taught out of that. When you're humble, you're teachable. If someone is always right, do you have anybody in your family that's always right? Maybe you are that person, right? I'm not saying you, but I'm saying maybe, you know. You, does anybody else know anybody that's just always right? Don't point at people. It's not healthy. You are always right. You always have the answers. Have anybody else like that? I have the answers. I'm always right. Anybody? Really? Who feels they're a little bit like that? Well, at least you're being honest, right? That's good. First step is admitting. Hi, Pastor Harris. Hi, Pastor Harris. Right. I never make a mistake. Ever feel that way about maybe one of your parents? They were always right, never made a mistake, right? Do you think kids will feel safe with a personality like that? No, they won't. It starts with us. It starts with what's in here, in our hearts. What's wrong in here, right? I don't want my son to feel that. So one of the best lessons I can teach him is to call him like I did and say, hey, I was wrong. I messed up. Please forgive me. I am not always right. In fact, a lot of times I'm wrong. And there's room, there's grace and space to mess up. How many of you need to hear that in your marriages? Expectation. Kill that, man. Kill that expectation. There's a whole lot of unspoken expectations going on in our houses. And let me tell you, you have to allow grace and space for people to grow. Because if you don't, you are suffocating. Suffocating, right? So how do we produce and grow fruit? I'm going to end on this. How do we produce and grow fruit in our lives, in our families' lives, in our friendships? This is my suggestion. We need to start teaching the people around us, teaching our children who God really is, right? By the way we live our life. I love studying the names of God and the attributes of God. Amen. And when you start to do that with your kids, they start to understand who God truly is. One of the best things you can do in your family setting is talk about the faithfulness of God. Do you know that? When you start to point out, hey, you know when this happened? When this happened, do you see how God was faithful? They start to recognize that you're just not a Christian on Wednesday and Sunday, but you're a Christian because you truly believe in this God who's faithful to you. When you're a person who starts to struggle and they see you open your Bible and searching out the Word, and maybe you're struggling, but they see you reading the Word, they know you're the real deal. It's just what it is. And you begin to talk about, hey, you're a faithful, he's a faithful God. Make it personal to them. I tell my son a lot, the Holy Spirit is within him, with him, in him, and on him. Lindley, I will too, as she understands those things. The Holy Spirit is always with you, he's always in you, and he's always on you. What you do with him is your choice. Your choice. He's ready. He's activated. You've got to do something with him or he's bored. That's what it is, right? Activate him. Everything we do is a form of discipleship. When you punish, when you interact, when you do these things, you're discipling the people around you. You're discipling your spouse when you don't show grace and space. You're discipling your children and your friends when you don't show grace and space. When you walk into a church service and you say something nasty to someone in this room, you're discipling. Do you know that? Maybe you haven't allowed someone grace and space just to be kind of different, and now they don't want to come back. That happens. You know, that happens. And so we have to be careful. Something that I focus on the family release this, and I loved it. I was like, this is so good. And the reason I wanted to read it real quick, and then we're going to end with it, is maybe you were raised in a way where you know, man, this wasn't practiced, but you can instill this into your relationships. If you're a grandparent in here, help your kids. If you see these issues, or if you have friends that have children, this is perfect. So here's some things that focus on the family said, how to secure your child's heart. Parent by faith. Pray for God's insight and direction. Let him work in your child and trust him with the result while you parent with thoughtful intentionality. Guess what? I have newsflash, there it is. Your kid is not yours. Never was to begin with. They're on loan to you. They were entrusted to you for a purpose and on purpose. They will always be God's. So help them do what God has called them to do. Because when they get out of your house, guess what? You release them back to the Father. Do it with faith. Do it with faith. I gotta share this. What time is it? I'll get through all this. Dave Ramsey has my favorite analogy. My husband and I are planning on doing this with our children. When they get to an age, Dave Ramsey bought a rope. Maybe some of you have heard this. Bought a rope for each of his children. And he tied different flags on the rope. And so when they get old enough, you know, they can start having, Hudson's kind of getting to that age where if they start to break trust once in a while, this is the time you got to have this conversation. You tie things on there like, you know, white for purity and, you know, green for money and whatever you want to do with those flags. But when your child breaks trust, get out that rope. Just go buy a rope and tell your kid, hey, listen, God has entrusted me with this rope. And as long as you are under my household, I'm in charge of this rope. And when you break my trust, that rope comes in a little further, right? But then when you earn trust, guess what happens? I let out the rope a little bit because I'm starting to see that you're trustworthy, right? And you do this all the way till they graduate. And I cried as I heard Dave Ramsey say this, but he said that when his first daughter graduated, he took her to dinner, and he had a box that was just wrapped beautifully, and he gave it to her, and she opened it, and there sat that rope. He said, you're no longer my responsibility. I give this rope to God. And when you break trust, know that he's going to pull you close. And he's going to talk to you about that. But when you build trust, he's going to let go of that rope and let you do what you were called to do. And that's the picture we need to have when we invest in the lives of our children. Is that they're ours on loan, and then we give them back to God to do what he needs to do with them. Amen? It's a heavy responsibility. Parent with grace and mercy. Although consistently responding to children's behavior is important, so is surprising them with your kindness. Know when they're willfully disobedient and when they're not. Isn't it nice just to surprise them once in a while? Just be a little kind. They think it's coming, man, and you're just kind. Forgive quickly and often. Ask to be forgiven quickly and often. I said it twice. Remember that the past does not define your children or control their future. Tell your children you are confident in God. Teach them scripture. Pray for them and with them. And go to church together and serve with them. So many families neglect going to church together. Instill that in them. Prioritize children, not their behavior. How many know when your kids act up, you're like, I don't want to be around that kid. Man, No, prioritize them, not their behavior, right? You can dislike what children do while you still like and love them. Remember, we can all have bad days, but we're not bad. Kids can feel when you are just disappointed and mad at them. They can feel that. Be who you want your children to be and teach them who you want them to be. Much is caught and taught. You want them to be successful. We used to say this a lot. You know, things can be caught and they can be taught. Children mostly learn by which one, do you think? What's caught? What you're modeling at home. That's what they're learning. Children are human beings, not human doings. Who they are is more important than what they do. Make sure you're speaking that into their hearts. Make sure you are. Raise the children you were given, not the children you wish you had. Raise the children you were given, not the children you wish you had. That right there is going to release someone in this room. I believe that. That's something we put so many expectations on our kids. I can tell you there's been times my kids have failed in things and immediately get frustrated. And I realize it's due out of the way I feel like it's going to make me look. So I start putting it on them. How could you do this? Do you know it? And it's like, wait a second, what is this birthed out of? Is it birthed out of actually to help their heart, or am I putting all my insecurities on my kids? Heart check, right? Create memories and build traditions with individual children and their family. Laugh, dream, think, feel, play, read, and explore together. Parent so children will want to be your friend later. Don't prioritize friendship now. Remember, needs and wants are different. Children don't need everything they want. Do parent to meet their needs. Seek to understand before trying to be understood. Seek to understand before trying to be understood. Amen? That's a good one right there. Ask better questions, listen longer, be fully present without devices in your hands. Listen when children are little if you want them to talk when they're older. That's self-explanatory. When children have a problem, remember they are not the problem. Help them without making them feel like a project you're trying to finish or a problem you're trying to solve. It's a big one. Teach children to fail well. Life can be challenging. They must be able to recover from adversity. Unconditionally love and value your children. Ideally, there's nothing they can do that would cause you to love them more or less. They should not want to prove their value to you. Prioritize progress, not perfection. Remember, you and your children are being perfected, but Jesus is the only one who is perfect. Perfection is the destination. Transformation is how our children will get there. Amen? So I realize not all of us are in this season of raising kids or whatever it may be, but the Holy Spirit was very specific on this message tonight. If you're someone who's in relationship with people that have children that they're raising, teenage years are hard, amen? Yeah, they're hard, right? Adult children are hard. I can't imagine what that's like to go from these little precious children to now you're an adult and what's my place with you? You know, I can't imagine what that's like for my dad to have to interact with his 35-year-old daughter, you know, that he has boundaries. I can't always say, you know, it's hard. It's really hard. So give grace and space for growth in your families. Amen. Did y'all get something out of this tonight? Okay. Well, yes.
When you said that everything that you do is discipleship, immediately, a phrase from another preacher came to my mind, and it goes with this, but it can apply to even more things than that, and that is every deed is a seed.
That's good.
And that way you can remember. It's easy, since it rhymes, it's right. Easy to remember.
Right. Every deed is a seed. That's so good. So good. I know sometimes as church, you come to church, you don't know what to expect, but this emotionally healthy stuff, if it doesn't get into the heart of your family, we've done it an injustice. Do you know what I'm saying? We've got to deal with it at a child's level, because many of us, part of the reason I value certain things is the way I was raised. And I got to deal with those things. Even as an adult, I would listen to my grandpa and grandma tell stories, and I'm like, wow, they still carry that all these years. And if you don't deal with that, not that they were holding on to it, but there were seeds planted from a child, and they're in their 80s, and they still feel that way. We have to deal with that and understand that our purpose is to what? Glorify God. And if we aren't glorifying God, then the enemy's stealing from us. Tonight, if you're having any issues with your family, can you do me a favor? Give them space and grace. Can you make that promise to me tonight? Maybe you've never done that, but I want you to go to that loved one, no matter who they are, or friend, I don't care who it is, and I want you to say, please forgive me. I didn't give you grace, and I want to give you space to do what you were called to do and be. Amen? Can I pray over you, and then we'll go? Lord, I just thank you for this intimate time. I thank you, Lord, that you wanted to come and meet with us about our children, about our families, Lord, that you care so deeply about the seeds that are being planted in these families, God, that you love them enough to almost like hijack the service, Lord. And God, I just pray right now, Lord, that there would be so much grace and space flowing out of these families, God, that when they have to referee, when they have to say, hey, sin is sin, and I'm calling that you're out of bounds, God, that they feel your love, Lord, that they have room to grow in these homes, Lord. I pray for families to be restored, Lord. I pray where there has been maybe just anger and frustration, Lord, that you would begin to get into those hearts. God, that you would begin to just almost do heart surgery in these areas, Lord. Would you open up these areas, Lord, that maybe have been closed for years? And would you just start to do your work? You are the best at repairing what is broken, God. And I pray that when we think of your cross, God, that we remember that there is death that has to happen in and through us every day, God. That this is not about us. This is about you and glorifying you in all we do, God. And so I pray, Lord, this week that we would glorify you even in the way we deal with each other, Lord. I pray just a blessing over everyone here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That was excellent. Thank you, honey. Last thing before we go. Remember, next week is ugly sweater party, Christmas party. And make sure to give a lot of grace and space with those hideous outfits. But next week, we're going to be in the fellowship hall. Bring a side dish to share. We'll bring the main course. Invite a bunch of friends. It'll be awesome. But that will be the last Wednesday of the year, because the next Wednesday is Christmas. The following one is New Year's Day. Both of those, we will not have Wednesday night service, but we will have Christmas Eve service on Tuesday night. But just same normal schedule. We'd love to see you on Sunday morning. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have it for all ages, from nursery all the way up to adult nursery. I don't know. I'm just playing. I don't even know. Grace and space, okay, guys? I need it. And then service is at 6:30, and then we have who's preaching? Rick Enyart is preaching Sunday night. So that'd be great to have you guys out. We love you. Tell your friends about us. Tell your enemies about us. Go and change the world, because the world changer lives in you. We love you. Bye-bye.